What about right here? Can y'all do it one more time? Can everybody put those hands together and give God some praise? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory, glory, glory. My God, I feel just like having a quick praise break in here. At home, we do something called a praise break, which is just when the service gets so exciting, you just can't say anything else, and the music can't do anything for you, so we just call it a praise break. It's only about 10 seconds. And you just do like David did, like Pastor Sutton was talking about. You just praise, give God a crazy praise for just about 10 seconds. You just lose your mind for 10 seconds because you start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you, everything he brought you out of, and where you should have been, and where you are today. And your soul, Jeremiah said, it's like fire that shut up in my bones. And when it shut up, and you try to keep a fire contained, it explodes. And I feel an explosion about to happen in this place right now. For just 10 seconds, can someone just take a quick praise break? One, two, three, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yay. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo. I feel something breaking in the atmosphere right now. Something is breaking loose in this place. Hallelujah. Did you know praise is a weapon? It's not something we just do in church just to make a whole bunch of noise and to clap our hands and just to act all crazy. But praise is actually a weapon. There was a time in the Bible when the children of Israel were coming up against an enemy. And the Bible says, send forth the praises. Send forth the musicians and the praises. We don't need any warriors. We don't need any swords. We don't need any shields. We just need a couple of folk who are not afraid to give God some praise. And the Bible says that when they went forth to praise, that the battle was won, because your praise is your weapon. The devil might take your home. He might take your car. He might try to split you up in your family, but he can't take your praise. If you keep your praise, somebody don't understand what I'm saying in here. The devil's trying to take everything he can from you. But you say, devil, one thing you can't take from me. You can make me sick in body. I might have cancer. I might not have all the money I need. But I can still praise God. I might praise him with my feet. I might praise him with my head. I might just give him a little head shake. But something to let somebody know that God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just say hallelujah. Whew. God is so good. God is so good. It's such an honor to be here. It's such an honor to be here with your great bishop, Bishop Sutton. Sir, we love you. We thank you so much for allowing us to come once again. I thought he might be tired of us after all these years, but man, we fall in love with Birmingham. We might have to move here one day. Nah, I can't do that. Sorry. You talking about a church that'll come down here trying to try to take everybody home? They come down here like the Taliban, man. Man, it's such an honor to be here. This is like home away from home. It really is. We've had the opportunity to travel to a lot of churches all over the country, and every church has its own atmosphere, you know, and its own praise climate, and I just like it when people can freely express how they feel about God. I like it when there are no restrictions, there's no traditions. I mean, one of the brothers, he looked like he was about 50 years old, run across the floor and did a flip. I said, Lord, I'm only 20-something years old. I can't do a flip, man. But there he is right there. There he is. Man, I hope I can steal a shot like that when I'm 50 years old. That's probably why he still looks so young, praising like. it's so good to be here. If you can just turn with me in your Bibles real quickly. Our pastor says that I'm going to do you like a Hollywood wedding. And like Britney Spears did to her husband and Elizabeth Taylor. is I won't be keeping you long. So I must say what God has put on my heart to say, and I'll get out your way. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, if you can turn there with me. When you get it, can you say amen?
Amen.
If you can read with me. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them. Can we try it one more time? We all read together. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Familiar passage of scripture, no doubt many of you have memorized it. And I want you to read this with all the strength and the energy that you can muster up, and just shake the gates of hell when you say this. Philippians chapter 4, 13. I can do. That was okay. I think some of y'all might have, you know, just been a little weak with it. One more time. Make this a declaration. This is a declaration to everyone who tried to tell you you could not do something. People who told you you wouldn't be here today. And even to your own self. When you try to hinder your own self from being what God has called you to be. This scripture is a declaration. It's prophetic. I want you to say it with power and authority. 1, 2, 3. I can do. Now, if you believe what you're saying, put those hands together right now. I'm just going to talk to you all tonight, just for a couple of moments, from the thought that God laid on my heart. If you believe it, do it. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you believe it, do it. Now, if you believe that, I want you to lift your hands right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for bringing us here tonight. We know, God, that it's not by accident that we have been brought here together to worship you and to lift you up. God, we know that you have a plan for our life. And Father, right now, with our hands lifted and our voices raised, Father, we declare to, in the atmosphere and to the enemy and to even ourselves, that from this moment forward, I will walk in victory. I will walk in faith. I will walk in the authority that you have put on my life. For I declare that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's no devil in hell that can stop me. Father, I worship you right now. And I give you praise for what you're about to do in my life. I thank you. I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. By definition, the word faith is confidence or trust in a person or thing. And according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible has given to every man alive, every person, the ability or given every man a measure of faith, which means that God has given to every person the ability to believe and put their confidence in something or someone. For example, when I said you may be seated, most of you sat down and didn't think about maybe if the chair would hold or support you. But if the chair broke one time, all it takes is one time, you would check every other time from that moment forward. Right now, your faith is in that chair when you get ready to sit down. The confidence is in that faith. And I'm here tonight not necessarily to convince you that you have faith, because everybody has faith. But I want to try to talk to you a little bit about what you put your faith in. And this is an important question, because the world we live in today is becoming more and more unpredictable. It's becoming more and more volatile. It's becoming more and more dangerous to live in. I mean, have gas prices are $2.90, $3 and plus. And you don't know what's going to happen the next day. You've got kids that are walking into malls and schools shooting people. They had an incident I read in the paper where a boy 7 years old committed suicide. And I'm like, God, what could a child 7 years old be going through that would cause him to want to commit suicide? And what I'm coming to realize is that people have put their faith in this world and this world system for so long. They've put their hope in Social Security and put their faith in a good job and put their faith in having a nice house and a nice home. And now all that's being turned upside down. The market is being turned upside down. People are losing their houses. People are losing their homes. You don't know if you're going to have a good job next week, if they're going to lay you off for some reason and send your job overseas. You don't even know if you're going to have Social Security in the next 10 or 15 years. The world we live in is very, very unstable. It's unstable, and because of the instability, people's confidence has been shaken. Now people are struggling, just trying to figure out what to do from here. God, where am I going to go from here? And because they're not confident, stress is building. That's why we have more stress-related illnesses and sicknesses now than we ever have before. And the thing that God is saying, God says, set your affections on things above. God is trying to wake up some people and saying, there are some things you put your confidence in and some places you put your faith and your hope in that it really, really won't last. And it's really, you don't even know if it's going to be there. And the question that I have to ask myself and I'll ask you is that if all there is to life is what I've experienced and where I am now, and I don't really have any kind of real expectation or hope or security in a better life and a better hope for tomorrow, then what is the purpose of living at all? Why do I go through all this drama and go through all this mess week after week of trying to make my life better and trying to provide for my family if it's not really going to matter and I don't even know it's going to be here on the next day? Why am I going to school and spending all this money in school if I don't even know when I get out I'm going to have a good job when I get out of college? You know, all this stuff is going through my mind, and the answer came to me from God is because I don't want you to put your confidence in this system. I don't want you to put your faith in the system. I want you to put your faith in me. And the reason why, because like I said, everybody has faith. But people seem to think that just because you have faith means that you have power. Faith by itself doesn't have any power. Faith by itself doesn't have any power. It's when that faith is put or connected with something that can substantiate that faith, that can follow behind and reinforce that faith, that the faith gets the power from. It's like this. When I was really young and I would go to Toys R Us and I would want a toy, and my mom would say, son, it's a little too expensive. I'm like, mom, but I really, really want this toy. Mom said, son, I just don't have the money. I said, mom, well, just write a check. I said, just write a check, you know, and you can pay for it. What I didn't understand was the check by itself was no good. The check was only as good as the money in the bank. Faith is your check. Now, what is your bank? Who is your bank? Oh, y'all didn't get me. If you put your faith in God, you put your trust and your hope in God. It's putting that in a source that's guaranteed to bring results. God is so secure and so into what he can do and knows what he can do. That he said in Isaiah 46, he said that I swear by myself. President Bush, one of the most powerful men in the world, when he goes to take his oath of office, he puts his hand on the Bible and raises his hand and swears into office, placing his hand on the Bible, signifying that if you can't believe in me, I'm going to put my hand on this Bible, trying to let you know how serious I am about what I'm going to try to do. God says, I don't need anything else to prove myself. God says, man, you have to swear on the word. I swear on myself. That's why he said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. He said, you know, I'm not just a king. I'm king over everything. He said, I'm a king seven ways. I'm king over the Jews. That's a racial king. I'm king over Israel. That's a national king. I'm king of righteousness. I'm king of the ages. I'm king of heaven. I'm king of glory. I'm king of kings. And I'm Lord of lords. That's my king. I don't know if anybody in here knows who I'm talking about in here. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show forth his handiwork. That means the stars in the sky and the birds in the field, even the grass and the rocks and the stone, they all give God praise because they know he is King of kings and Lord of lords. You see, there's no way you can measure or define God's love. There's no barrier or anything that can hinder God. There is no thing that can stop him from pouring out his blessings upon you. He is eternally steadfast. He is immortally glad. He is all powerful. He is impartially merciful. I wonder if anybody in here knows who I'm talking about. He, Jesus Christ, is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the globe. He is the Son of God. He is the center of the Savior of sinners. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He stands out all by himself. He is unique. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He alone is the loftiest idea in literature. He is the highest person in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine of true philosophy. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. He is the only and one that is qualified to be the true enough Savior. I wonder if anybody in here knows my God. Does anybody know my God? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available to everyone who's ever been tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he girds. He heals the sick and he cleanses the leper. He discharges the debtor. He sets every captive free. He defends the defenseless. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I wonder if anybody in here really know who I'm talking about. His love never changes. His promises are sure. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. And his word is enough. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I wonder if anybody in here really knows who I'm talking about. You see, when you really know who God is and you really have an understanding of who God is, you can't just put him out your mind. You can't just get him off your hands. You just can't try to outlive him or outdo him. You can't live without him. He's so awesome that back 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out they couldn't stop him. The Pilate tried to find fault in him. But he found out there was no fault in this man. Witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. I wonder if anybody knows who God is. And put your hands together and say, I serve an awesome King. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This let me know that you cannot separate God from His Word. Remember, I'm talking about confidence here. I'm talking about faith, what you put your faith in. You can't separate God from His Word. If He has all these attributes, and He says that you can't separate me from my Word, that means everything about God is wrapped up in these 66 books. And if you can't separate God from His Word, that lets me know that anything that He tells me and I read in this book, I can put my faith and confidence in that. I don't say God's a healer just to say it. I say it because it's in the book. I don't say He's a provider just to say it. I say it because it's in the book. I don't say He can heal and He can deliver you just to say it. I say it because it's in the book. I wish somebody had a witness or had an understanding of what I'm trying to say here. Everything that God is, everything that God does is in this book here. And you can bet your dollar that all His authority and all His power is wrapped up in this book here. God said in this book, He said, I've given upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then He goes on to say, and I give unto you the keys to the kingdom, that whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That lets me know something here. Because He said, it can't stop me. He didn't say it couldn't stop me. The misconception is that there is this war between God and the devil. That the devil is somehow engaging God in warfare. Well, if you didn't know, the devil used to be an angel called Lucifer. And Lucifer was one, the son of the morning. He was one of the highest angels in heaven. He was the angel of worship and praise, and the Bible said gemstones were in him, and that pipes and organs were inside of him. So whatever he thought about music or songs just came out of him. But Lucifer got caught up in himself, and he kept saying, if I can be like the Most High, if I can do this, if I can do that. And the Bible says that war was waged in the heavenlies. And Lucifer tried to persuade one third of all the angels to come on his side, and he did. But the Bible lets me know that God kicked Lucifer out already. So that battle's already been fought and won by God. If God is all powerful, and God is all knowing, and God is all seeing, and God can't nothing stop him, how are you going to sneak up on a God that can see everything? How are you going to pull a coup on a God who knows what you're thinking before you know what you're thinking? You can't trick God. You can't fool God. The devil wasn't fooling nobody. And the Bible said that the devil, God kicked him out of heaven. That battle's already won. The devil's not fighting God. He already knows he lost that battle. But Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not God, it, the church. The battle is not between God and the devil. The battle is between you and the devil. And God says to you, to each one of you in here, that I give to you the keys to the kingdom. Notice here that He said keys, plural. And that He said the gates, plural, which means that there is a kingdom key to correspond with every hellish gate the devil tries to come bring against you. And if you're not winning, it's maybe because you're just using the wrong key, baby. You need to find out which key you need to use to lock that gate and tell the devil you ain't coming in here tonight. I wish some... Look at your neighbor and say, I got the key. Look at somebody and say, I got the key. And I'm about to lock the devil out of my life. Come on, I'm about to lock him out of my home. I'm about to lock him out of my kids' life. I'm about to lock him out of my kids' school. Somebody. Woo. God's giving you authority. God's giving you power. God's giving you the keys to the kingdom. Let it all shout. That whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You see, the devil is a spiritual being. He's not here physically. He's a spiritual being. And you can't fight spiritual beings using physical carnal methods. You got to fight spiritual with spiritual. You got to fight fire with fire. You got to learn how to get on your knees. And you got to learn how to fast. And you got to learn how to pray. And you got to learn how to use the right kind of spiritual authority against the devil. So the Bible said, I give you the keys to the kingdom, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's in his word. That means I can bank on that. I don't have to worry. God's already given me that authority. God's already made me chosen. He's already made me royalty. He's already defined a plan for my life. This is where faith comes in, because God is a limitless supply of just pretend that it was money. God is a limitless supply of money. And he's saying to you, here's a checkbook. Whatever you need, just write the check. And I'll make sure you got the money to back it. So now the decision is upon you. The decision is up to you now, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes from hope, but hope comes from expectation. It does no good. You may be seated. It does no good to have a limitless supply of energy and yet you have no desire to use it. He says, before you come to me, you need to already have an expectation of what you want. Because when you have an expectation, then that turns to hope. And when you begin to hope on something, that turns to faith. Now the question is, what is the evidence? Because it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll tell you what the evidence is. I know what God can do based upon what I've already seen him do in the past. When I look at my life and I see where he's brought me from, I might have an unsaved loved one that's not saved. But I know that if God could take me and God could shape and remold me and all the mess that I had and all the mess that I was in, he might not have done it over there yet, but I know he can. The evidence is what I know that God can do. That's why it's important for you never to forget where God brought you from. You can never forget how far God has brought you and what he has brought you through. Last year, some of you went through some trials that you thought was going to be the end of you, but you're still here tonight. You're still here and you're still standing. And when you feel like you're weak and you're about to crumple, you need to go back to some of those past victories. My God, you need to go back to some of those things that you didn't think you could make it through, but God still brought you through. And you can say, God, if you could do it then, you can do it now. And this is why doubt is such the antithesis of faith. This is why doubt is the enemy of faith. Because when you say, God, I don't believe you, it's like you're spitting in God's face. It's like you're saying, God, I know you can do everything. I know you have all power and you're all seeing and all knowing, but I just don't believe you. I don't trust you. I don't have confidence in you. And God is like, if you can't believe me now, after all I've done, if you got up this morning and you have breath in your body and you had two legs to walk on and you had food on your table and you had family members that were there for you, if you can't believe me from what I've already done, why am I going to try to prove myself to you? Why am I going to sit here and try to bless you in order to try to prove that I love you? You better take your step back and say, hold up. I love you anyway. I trust you anyway. I put my confidence in you. You see, this is what happened in the Bible. There was a woman in Luke chapter 8, verse 43, that had an issue of blood. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 long years. 12 years she dealt with this ailment that caused her to be ostracized from her community. Back in that day, when you had something like that, when that period of time came around, they put you out of the city. You couldn't be around no one. You was unclean. You couldn't be around your family. You couldn't go into your own house. You had to be away from everybody. You had to go outside the city to an area until that time had passed. Imagine 12 long, grueling years of dealing with this issue, knowing it wasn't even her fault. She didn't know why she had it. She didn't know why she was the one that had to go through all of this, but yet she had to endure it. And the Bible says she tried everything she could do. She tried all the doctors and all the medical technology that they had back then, but none of that worked for her. Nothing that she tried worked for her. And here she was with this issue inside of her that had separated her from everything she wanted, everything she loved, everyone she cared for. She couldn't be around them. She couldn't be close to them because of something she had no control over. Something that was going on inside of her that had caused her to be separated, that had caused her to be put outside the city like she wasn't even a part of a family. If she was married, she may have been divorced from her husband, all because of a sickness that she could not control. And I imagine this lady was hopeless. She was embarrassed about what was going on. She didn't want people to know what is happening to her. But one day, she heard that Jesus was coming to town. And when she heard that Jesus was coming to town, her expectations began to build. Y'all don't get what I'm saying right now. She heard about how he had healed lepers and how he had raised the dead. And she said, you know, I don't know. It's a chance of a lifetime. What else do I have to lose? I've tried everything else. I've tried everything I know to do. If I can but touch the hem of his garment. I don't have to touch his hand. I don't have to touch anything else, but just the hem of his garments. The Bible said that she made her way through the crowd. And I believe that she put her life on the line for this one touch. She put her life on the line to make her way through that crowd, go through all of that. And when she reached out to touch Jesus, when she reached out to touch the hem of his garments, Jesus had been touched all day. People had been bumping into him all day. But somehow this woman, when she just touched the hem, when she touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says virtue left out of him and he felt it leave out of him. Why? I believe it's because her faith connected with the source. Her faith connected with God and instantly she was made whole. I wish somebody in here could understand what I'm saying. Somebody in here needs to understand all you need to do is connect with the source. My God. Bible says in Mark that there was a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus. Blindness means that you can't see. And sight has always been in reference to vision. What I can see, see where I'm going. And blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't see. And there's two ways people become blind. One, you're blind by birth. Or two, you're blind by a circumstance that have happened in your life that caused you to lose your sight. Now here, blind Bartimaeus was. He was in the city at the gate. He couldn't see, but he could hear. Y'all didn't get that. He couldn't see, but he could still hear. And when he heard that Jesus was coming to town, the Bible says that he called out. And people around him tried to shut him up. But blind Bartimaeus called out even the more. You see, sometimes life has a way of taking your vision. Life has a way of taking your hope and your dreams away from you. See, like I said, there's two ways to become blind. One, you're blind by birth. Two, you're blind by a circumstance. Some people in here, in this room tonight, some young person, or maybe you are a man of God, or maybe you are a father or a mother. You used to have a vision for where God wanted to take you in your life. There used to be a desire with inside of you for you to do something great with your life, to be all that God could call you to be. You used to pray and you used to stay up reading and studying the Word of God, but something happened in your life. Something transpired in your life that wasn't your fault, and it took your hope away. It took your ability to be able to see and your ability to be able to feel and see where God is trying to take you. Oh, it took your ability to be able to know that God still has a plan for you. And some of you maybe have been born into a situation that didn't even allow you to see your potential. It didn't even allow you to see what you could be. You're born into a home. You never know what it's like to have a father that loves you. You didn't know what it was like to have men and women around you that really cared for you. You were born, or something happened in your life before you were born, and you were born into a situation that just prevented you from being able to see at all. You have no vision. It's not because you don't want to not have a vision. You just don't know where to start with trying to get a vision. You ain't never had a chance to have a real vision for your life. But I've got news for both of you groups in here. Jesus is in the room. I feel God in this place. Jesus is in the room. And the Bible said that when blind Bartimaeus heard, when he heard about what God had done elsewhere and about what God could do, he said, Jesus is coming my way. And this is my opportunity. And the Bible says that blind Bartimaeus called out to God. He called out, Jesus, thou son of David. He didn't even call his name right. Jesus wasn't the son of David. He was the son of God. But at that moment, it didn't matter how he called him. The only thing that mattered is that he called his name. You might not know how to say it right. You might not know how to pray right. You might not know how to shout right. But it does not matter at this moment what you know how to do right. The only thing that matters is that you do it. The Bible says that blind Bartimaeus called out. He wasn't afraid of the people around him. He didn't care what they thought about him. He wasn't trying to be all pretty. He didn't care if he had a nice suit on. He didn't care if he had his hair, if his hair was done right. Blind Bartimaeus called out. And when he called out, they tried to shut him up. You see, everybody don't understand what you're going through. And everybody don't have the same problems that you have. But when you try to call out, they'll try to shut you up because they don't want you to interrupt God. But let me tell you something. God has never been interrupted by his servants. He has never been interrupted by people who have a need for him. The Bible says he called out even the more. And that they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus healed him. I told you guys earlier that the whole issue is what you put your faith in. I feel faith coming into the room right now. Somebody's faith is being charged because I'm about to speak into the atmosphere right now. And I come against every spirit of doubt. I come against every lie. I come against every spirit of insecurity. I come against every perverted spirit that is trying to keep the children of God from realizing that God has a plan for you. Right now, I need you to lift your hands and lift your voice and declare in this place. Declare that God is still God. Declare in this place that my allegiance is to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Right now, I said the title of my sermon was If You Believe It, Do It. In both instances here, it wasn't enough for them just to know what God could do. They had to act upon what they believe. If you're in this room right now and you need a touch from God, if you're a young person in this room and you're on the verge of trying to give up, or maybe you've thought about committing suicide, or maybe you're looking for what God is trying to do in your life, and some things have happened in your life to try to take that away. There's some business owners in this room. There are some ministers in this room. There are preachers in this room, and the devil has tried to take that from you, but I come against it in the name of Jesus. Right now, if you need your faith restored, ma'am, right there in the green, can I pray for you? Right there in the green, can I pray for you? If you need your faith restored, God brought you in here by divine assignment. It's not an accident that you are here tonight. It's not an accident that you're here tonight. God brought you here because God wanted to show you that he still has a plan and a purpose for you. When I lay my hands on you, I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to declare with everything inside of you that you still believe in God right now. In the name of Jesus, I believe. Yes. Come on. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's an awesome move of God in this place. Hallelujah. Right now, this is an opportunity. If you need God in your life, if you need God in your life, you come down here right now. Come on, young man, young woman, right now, you come down here and you declare, you say, God, I need you right now. That's it. 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 You don't have to be. You don't have to be like you. You don't have to be. God has made you more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more. I'm more than a conqueror. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an awesome presence of God in this place right now. Please, please, if you're not up here praying, I need you to be praying and interceding for the young people and the men of God and women of God who are at the altar right now. There is a breaking coming in this room right now. God is about to release something here. Someone's about to receive the Holy Ghost in this room. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on.